Ship ahoy, sir!
Thank you, Mr. Rickey!
Ryan brought his telescope to his eye. It still felt odd being addressed by his friends this way, but he was an officer now. The day was gray and cloudy. The westerlies blew a bitterly cold 40 miles per hour. He didn't want to contemplate what the weather would be like when the South American continent no longer sheltered them. The red and black painted war pig was unmistakable in the murk. Ryan had calculated the most likely course the war pig would take to bring them straight to the Falklands without engines or a spritsail, and he had plotted the Glory's best course for interception. His calculations were correct almost to the hour, and they had brought his ship nearly exactly behind the crippled behemoth. A little part of Ryan's heart, that he wouldn't show to officers, crew, or his companions, glowed. He was good at this. Whether the war pig was truly out of coal or not, at least at the start of the engagement, the Glory would have the advantage.
Mr. Manray, inform Commander Miles we have the war pig in sight.
Aye, sir.
Ryan was not the gloating kind, but another part of him enjoyed Manray calling him sir. Hardly anyone below was sleeping. The entire crew had been waiting for this fight and was eager for it. Commander Miles limped onto the quarterdeck. He bore a Colt 1911 A1, missing just about all of its finish, strapped to his good leg, and he thrust his Japanese short sword through his blue sash. He raised a pair of binoculars to his eyes and grinned at the war pig.
Excellent plotting, Mr. Ryan.
Thank you, Commander.
The two officers on deck leaned out over the starboard rail and peered at the war pig. The pig had spotted the Glory descending on them from the stern, and the pig's sailors swarmed like ants in the rigging, taking up and dropping sail as she desperately tried to maneuver. Fitful pulses of ashy gray smoke and then greasy black came out of her black iron smokestack.
What do you make of that, Mr. Ryan?
Dorian really is out of coal. We've got him flat-footed. He's throwing wood, oil, and anything else that isn't nailed down into his fireboxes to try and eat his boilers.
I make it so as well.
If he can even half turn under power, you're gonna get the hard end of this.
Aye.
I say we take him now.
We are agreed, Mr. Ryan. He's so kind as to do so.
Ryan stepped to the binnacle and Miss Laurel at the wheel behind it. He knew what he would find, but he felt goosebumps along his arms as he found the suspended skeletal hand pointing straight at him, before it slowly turned to point in judgment for the war pig. They had the weather gauge, and that meant that the Glory could choose her maneuvers at will with the wind in her sails, while the war pig would have to wallow and tack against the wind to try to match. It was a priceless advantage in a battle between sailing ships, trumping surprise or weight of shot. If the war pig could get her screws turning, even slightly, it would be lost. One maneuver might be all they ever got.
Miss Laurel, straight in for the pig's tail. Get us within 100 meters, then hard to starboard. I want every crewman not needed to sail the ship or fire the cannons stationed to the starboard rail with a blaster.
Aye.
JB, the blaster deck is yours. Chasers, when we're in range, when we turn to starboard, be ready to fire as she bears.
JB looked out the number one starboard chaser blaster port and took in his opponent. The war pig was an ocean-going horror, a behemoth with modifications that included two blaster decks to the Glory's one. But the monster was lumbering like a horse half mired in mud. Smoke puffed from the monster's stern. JB saw the gray streak of the cannonball that rustled past the Glory, 6 meters to his left. The crew missed Gunny, but the artilleryman and weaponsmith had trained his people well, and they admired JB's competence and style. The pig had 4 stern chasers to the Glory's 2. The pig was now reduced to 1. The battle plan was simple. If the Glory exchanged broadsides with the pig, she was most likely doomed. Ryan was attempting to give JB a shot at raking fire. With the weather gauge, Ryan would attempt to turn the Glory's full broadside at the pig's stern. The stern was less heavily built than the prow or the sides, and there was a chance the cannonballs would rip through the pig from stern to stem. Dorian was stoking his boiler, which was dangerous in the extreme for a wooden ship. JB would attempt to put all 8 of his shots up the pig's ass. The stern was a much smaller target, and that was why Ryan was bringing the Glory in, dangerously close. Dorian knew exactly what was happening.
200 meters, JB!
Blaster captains, light fuse!
The blaster captain squatted over the fuse baskets and struck sulfur matches well away from the powder and set the coiled fuses to smolder. The Glory had nearly a full complement, but far too many of the crew were still lubbers. They were going to fire from starboard, so JB had run the Mapuche Kelpers and Gauchos to port. Veterans would fire the first volley.
150!
Starboard crews, run out the blasters!
JB watched as his crews yanked on the ropes and the cannons rolled forward. These were not the narrow long-range chasers meant to take away spars or rigging. These cannons were squat beasts of short range and large caliber, and looked like black iron hostile beer kegs. They were smashers.
Miss Laurel, hard to starboard! Blastermen, fire!
Miss Laurel turned the ship. They had a nearly perfect strong wind behind them, and the Glory pivoted in the water like a dancer. On deck, every crewman not required to steer the ship or fire the cannons stood and began unloading their firearms into the pig's stern.
JB, fire as she bears!
JB crouched at the starboard number one cannon as the stern of the pig swung into view.
Fire! All crews, fire as they bear!